So we are in the book of Mark. We're continuing as we kind of truck through. We're in chapter 7. So guess what? We're almost halfway there. So I told you it was going to be a trek. It was going to be a little bit. So we're in the book of Mark, and we are desiring to continue in what is the kind of like the footsteps of Jesus. And so this is where we are. Let me see if I can get my keynote to work here a little bit. There it is. Great. Okay. So, this is going to be fun. All right. So, did you ever hear of a person being extra? Okay. Extra. So, it's a little bit of a slang term. So, in order to find out, we got to go to some of our more experienced congregation people to find out if they know what being extra is. So, Beverly, do you know what it means to be extra? What would be your best guess? If someone called you extra, well, do you have any idea what it would mean? No idea? None whatsoever. Okay. Donna. Hey, Donna. How are you? You think it's the opposite? You think it's not? In what way? So if someone calls you extra, like, man, that Donna, she's so extra. Do you have any idea what it might mean? Kind of out there? Oh, okay. All right. No. So let's go. Let's Susan. There you go, Susan. What does being extra mean? A little over the top. Okay, so let's go to the true source, which is Urban Dictionary. someone who is over the top and completely unnecessary for unnecessary reasons, they will go out of their way to prove they're just extra. I don't know. Like, how do you? Let me show you some examples. Okay, so. Here we go. An example. So we bought this 20-foot Christmas tree, and they cut it in half so it could go through the roof, okay? So when you drive past their house, you see the Christmas tree going not only to the top of their house, but it also, they mounted it on the other half on the roof, okay? That's extra. All right. Here we go. Here's being extra. Okay. I didn't come home for Thanksgiving. My parents' family acts like I'm dead. They got a little... You got a little shrine. So mom and dad, you know what mom and dad are? They're a little what? They're a little extra. There we go. Okay, good. Okay, here we go. A team helped me out with good lighting to take a picture of me eating pizza. There's like 20 friends with their cell phones using the lighting that they're using the flashlight app on their phone to give her perfect lighting to take a picture of her eating pizza. That's a bit what? There you go. See, we're good. Oh, this is a good one. Some people sneak candy in the movie theater. My mom sneaks corn on the cob. Who said that's awesome? It would be pretty sweet, wouldn't it? Okay, that's a bit what? That's a bit extra. Okay, here's one. This girl's chair. Yeah, see, there you go. Oh, my. That's a good expression when somebody's extra. She don't even. This is how extra I really am. Okay. Remember that high school couple in high school that were just a little extra? You know what I'm talking about? Like, for example, like it was like the notebook every time they had to go between periods. They might have those people. They might have those people in your high school. They're a little what? They're a little extra. So extra. So there you go. Does that help a little bit, Donna? Beverly, does that help you out a little bit? Good. You can use it. Look, you can use it now when you talk to Emma on the phone. Be like, don't be so extra. That'd be great. That'd be great. Okay. As we, it's so funny. All right, as we continue in the book of Mark, we're going to see some people who are a little bit extra. Okay, in their view of God, right? And wild guess, spoiler alert, it's going to be the Pharisees, right? It's going to be those religious leaders that Jesus is going to battle all the way to the cross, and here we found them just being a little bit extra. So, if you have your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 7 today. We are done with Mark chapter 6. Let's get into Mark chapter 7, and you can follow along in your own Bible. If you want to follow along on the screen, you're welcome to do so. For those tuning in online, we think of Carolyn and Vic. We thank you very much for being here. So join us as we continue to head into chapter 7. Let's go. Book of Mark, chapter 7, starting in verse 1. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating foods with hands that were defiled. That is unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. They observe many other traditions, such as washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So Jesus and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, why don't your disciples live according to the traditions of the elders instead of eating their food with their defiled hands? Let's take a pause there real quick. The Pharisees and some of the teachers who had come from Jerusalem to gather around Jesus. Real quick, so if you remember the last time we spoke, Jesus and the disciples crossed the Sea of Galilee. They're crossing the Sea of Galilee. They're actually headed to the Bethsaida, which is north of the Sea of Galilee. Capernaum and Bethsaida are kind of like next to each other. They're only a few miles apart. So they're north of the Sea of Galilee, and these guys came from Jerusalem. Now, I know you guys, you're not thinking maps, but that's 115 miles just to come see Jesus, right? So they heard what was going on, and they had to come see him for themselves. Now, keep in mind, there was already some talk about Jesus. We've already seen, if the word got to Herod, Herod thought Jesus was John the Baptist, kind of reborn or risen from the dead. So there was all this speculation about who he was, even when Andrew sees Jesus for the first time. He comes to Simon and says, we found the Messiah. So there was already talk about who Jesus was, and so they traveled all that distance. That's 150 miles just to confront Jesus, and this is what they see him eating without washing his hands, right? And so they want to know, why don't your disciples live according to the traditions of the elders instead of eating the food with defiled hands? Now, Mark is going to explain. This is great, by the way. Mark, now, to us, this seems like, what is the big deal about them washing their hands before they eat? Like, what's the big deal? Like, I have four boys. Like, listen, I know it's not happening, okay? Like, it's just, like we're like dirt, check, okay? Like, we could find, that might be nutrition. Like, we're good, right? Like, vitamins and minerals, that's in there. Like, okay, whatever. But take a look here. You can kind of see some inside knowledge here. Those parentheses that you see there in your Bible, Mark is actually explaining the custom. Now, if Mark had been writing to a Jewish people, he wouldn't need to explain the custom. So he's writing to Gentiles. So we know that Mark is writing to a Gentile audience because he's explaining what's going on here. And what he's saying is, so the Jews, they according to Exodus chapter 30, the laws of the tabernacle, where they had to wash their hands and their feet before entering the tabernacle. Now, here's the interesting part. That was only for the priests. So the Pharisees actually took that up a notch. They didn't have, nowhere in the law that says you have to wash before you eat. The Jews actually took that. And so Jesus is going to call them on the carpet about it. Look what he says. He replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. Very scathing words from our Lord, by the way. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. Let's pull that up real quick. So you got to remember where the Jewish people are. Remember, they had just, so very near in their memory is the exile to Babylon, which was, 600 years ago prior to this event. But they remembered that because of their failures of following the law, God punished them and sent them into exile. So now the Jewish leaders are like, let's build up all these human rules around the word of God so that way we never break the word of God. It makes sense, that this way we will never get close to breaking the word of God, that we'll put up all these human rules. So instead of washing when you go to the tabernacle, we'll make it whenever you eat. Now whenever you eat, you wash your hands. And so they made it such an important thing that they're stepping over themselves. In fact, they're following human traditions more than they're following the word of God. And that's why Jesus has very, very harsh words for them. So they went above and beyond to stay away from breaking God's word. And in doing so, they became legalistic. In other words, they became a little what? They're a little extra, right? These guys are a little extra, right? They're a little extra. They're like, hey, man, what are you doing not washing your hands before you eat? And now they're calling Jesus on the carpet about it. And now look at Jesus' words for people who are just a little bit extra. You honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. that's a shot, like that's a Bon Jovi shot through the heart. That hurts, right? You do all these great things. You do, and by the way, and this is where these guys knew their Bible, by the way, folks. They knew their Bible. Up and down, frontwards, backwards. They knew their Bible and more so. That's why Jesus goes back and says, hey, you know what? He's going to go on to say, Moses gave you this. He's going to go right to the law. But they have their own special rules and their own special laws that they hold on to so much more than even the Word of God. And so Jesus is really saying, listen, you guys have gone above and beyond, and now you follow to the letter your own rules, and you don't even know me anymore. Ouch. Ouch. You say the right things, but deep inside, if you look inside yourself, there's nothing there, man. You are 1,000 miles. You're as far away from me than you are Jerusalem. God stood in front of them, and they didn't even know who he was. And that hurts. So, what do we do with this? Because Jesus is going to go, and he's going to say, because they're saying, no, everything that's out here defiles you on the inside. And Jesus is saying, I don't care what really is going on the outside. I'm looking what's on the inside. And Jesus is going to use this as a point. He goes, I don't care how extra you really are. In reality, what I truly care about, it's what's true, who you really are, deep down inside. Right? Jesus doesn't care about rules. He cares about your heart. You can be the best rule follower in this room. Right? I do everything. I pray. These things are not bad. And by the way, the Jewish laws were not bad, because when they followed them, it made them more important than God. That's where the problem lied, right? They were following human traditions. Jesus even said, listen, you're following things you made up, and you're following it so much so you're actually making it really hard for people to get close to me. That's his problem. So when we talk about this, we kind of borderline legalism here and identity. We have all these different pieces of this. Anytime that we build up human rules that distract us from the heartbeat of God, we are at fault. Anytime that we distance God and we say, hey, I've done everything I've checked every box, we're good, but we ignore what's going on the inside, we ignore the truth about maybe our sin or our situation or whatever that might be, we miss out. And we're not doing what God calls us to do. Look at the word of Jesus. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen to me, everybody. By the way, notice that. He's like, listen, I need everybody to hear this. And by the way, when Jesus says that, we should all be listening. And understand this, nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it's what comes out of a person that defiles them. Jesus is not really concerned about the external around you. Jesus is concerned about what is indicative of what comes out of our hearts. Right? Listen, Jesus is like, I don't care. Listen, I'm not saying that we shouldn't do the things that God tells us to pray. God tells us to follow his word. God tells us to love Jesus with all our heart and to love our neighbors around us. But when Jesus looks at us, he's not looking at all the things on the outside. Jesus peers right into who we are deep down in here. And Jesus says, you know what? I get a pretty good idea about what comes out of you. If you spew hatred, you spew darkness, you spew evil, where's that? Jesus is going to say, well, where's that coming from? It's not coming from out here. It's coming from here. And so Jesus is going to make this really important point here about what's coming on the outside. What's on the inside? Jesus sees something completely different. The way the Jews actually saw things, they were all like outward appearances. Everything on the outside has to look good, right? Everything has to look good on the outside. But on the inside, it looked awful. Right? And it's not that often that we see a view on things that are on the inside. Like, let me show, like, did you guys ever see what's on the inside of a red box? Like, that's what it looks like. Did you guys know that? That's what's on the inside of a red box. Did you guys ever see the inside of a baseball? That's what's on the inside of, like, it's yarn, string, rubber, cork, right? Did you ever see the inside of your toothpaste? That's what it looks like, by the way. Oddly satisfying, right? What's up with that? Like, I'm like, wow, I should just cut it, like, can you imagine, like, I kind of want to, like, slice open, like, my toothpaste and just put it on. Anyway, sorry. Fire hydrant. It's just a big plunger on the inside. That's all it is. That's all it is, by the way. A bowling ball. The inside of this guitar looks like it's a really nice hotel, by the way. I don't know what's up with that. Like, I would totally stay in that. It looks like something in Nashville. Inside of an ATM. But the question is, Jesus doesn't care about what it looks like on the outside. Jesus cares about what's on the inside. Now, the truth is about you. Like, we don't show everybody what's on in here, right? Like we put all these nice facades, just like whatever, that bowling ball or ATM. But when you look at the inside, you're like, wow, that looks a lot different than I anticipated. My hope is that Jesus looking at you, it's like, you know, there's not a whole lot of discrepancy what's on the outside than what's on the inside. And so Jesus is looking, he's making a point here to say, listen, I don't care about all the great rules that you follow. I care about how true your heart is to me. That's what I truly care about. You honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. Listen, we know this. We've seen this. And the greatest king of Israel, God made this through the prophet Samuel, spoke these amazing words. The Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I've rejected him. The Lord does not look at these people, does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance. But the Lord, he looks at the heart. Jesus spoke, listen, everybody passed over David. Everybody passed over this lonely little shepherd boy, but God looked right at the heart. And this morning, my desire is that we are people, listen, we can polish ourselves up really good. We can doll ourselves up. We can tell all our neighbors we're fine, and this is our next point. You can fool yourself, but guess who you can't fool? God. So like you can polish yourself up really nice, but at the end of the day, God peers through all of that, and he looks right at the core here, and he knows exactly who you are. And my desire is there's not a whole lot of discrepancy of what we see on the outside to what we see on the inside. So before we get into our points, I want you to understand God doesn't care about rules. He cares about our heart. And does our heart match his character and his love and his person? Does everything we say, we do match to his spirit that has taken up residence inside of every believer? Sounds like a good spot to pray. Let's do that just now. Lord, guide us and lead us as we move forward in this. I ask that you would allow us to be people who, on the inside, we are alive and vibrant, full of love and hope and peace, full of compassion, mercy, and grace, full of truth and justice. Lord, everything that you are, I pray that it would be who we are on the inside. And you are going to come and have some very harsh words for those who have jealousy, hatred, or malice, or sexual immorality. Lord, these are the things that you wish to do away with to allow our insides to match what is called to be reflected to the world. So lead us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you for your word that spoke so much truth into our lives. So Lord, lead us in this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So the first point is you can't fool God. You can't fool God. We can't pull a fast one on him. By the way, I don't know if you know this or not. Like, you can't. So many people have tried, right? We can't pull a fast one on God, right? How many times did we see, right? Like, how many people in the past tried to pull one on God? Malachi, he says, you guys are trying to rob me. I see through that. Saul, right? Oh, well, I'll keep the king for myself, right? No, that doesn't work that way either, Saul. I gave you a command. You didn't do it. And the list goes on. You cannot fool God. He is God for a reason, because he is perfect. He is holy. He is set apart from all creation. There is nothing else like him. And so we can't fool him. Let's take a look at what was going on in Israel at the time. Jesus said, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, honor your mother and father. Notice he pulls, he doesn't quote the Mishnah. He doesn't quote any of their human rules. He goes right to the source. He goes right to Moses. Let me tell you about the guy who wrote the law, by the way. What did he say? Honor your mother and father. And anyone who curses their mother and father is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares what might have been used to help their mother and father, Corban, I'll explain what that is, that is devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father and mother. Thus, you nullify the word of God by your traditions that have handed down. And you do many things like that. Now, maybe that passage doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Let's kind of talk about this. So when he says anything that you say that you've given to the God is Corban, what that means is you've dedicated it to the temple, right? That you've made a vow to give whatever that is. So what he's saying is if you have like money set aside to care for your mom and dad, right? You have an obligation to care for your mom and dad, to love them and honor them and to take care of them. And he goes, if you have what is supposed to be used to care for your mom and dad, and you said to the temple, hey, everything I have belongs to you, that's a vow between you and the temple. Now, the Jews said, oh, you can't break vows. Breaking vows is awful. But they would say, well, then you no longer have to care for your mom and dad because you no longer have those finances because they're given to God. So therefore, you no longer have to take care of them. This is an obligation that you don't have to worry about because you've made this one. And so even if you wanted to like resend that, you couldn't do it because you've already given it to God. So then you walk away free and clear being like, well, I don't have to worry about it now. Because then, you know, if you didn't like your mom and dad or didn't care for them, you could just be like, oh, well. Like, it was a loophole. That's all it was. It was just a loophole to get them out of the word of God. And so now they have these human traditions that would nullify the word of God. And that's what's going on here. So they actually consider the breaking of the vow worse than not caring for your mom and dad. And that's where Jesus is like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Do you not understand the heartbeat of the law? Right? He says, you do all these things and you nullify the word of God by your traditions. Like, you're trying to fool God. You can't, like, Jesus is saying, well, you know what? Let me tell you what's bugging me a little bit, right? Let me tell you what I know and what I've seen, right? And that's why he pulls on Moses. Let me tell you what Moses says. And right there, everyone would be like, every Jewish Pharisee would be like, he pulled out the M card. You cannot fool God. You cannot, right? You can't fool him. You can't justify a sin. At the end of the day, a sin is a what? Sin, right? Like, look at this Ford Pinto. Look at this Ford Pinto. They make it look like a Rolls Royce. But guess what? At the end of the day, it's still a what? It's still a Ford Pinto, right? You get in that thing, it's going to drive like a Ford Pinto. You know why? Because it's still a what? A Ford Pinto. That's exactly what it is. You cannot justify sin. At the end of the day, Jesus is saying that's why he's like, you can put all the rules and justifications on whatever you want to do, but at the end of the day, God looks straight at you, he looks you in the eye, and he says, I want to know what's in your heart. At the end of the day, God says, it's a sin, and a sin is a sin. Now you're saying, oh my gosh, I got to do all these rules to get everything right. No, Jesus just says, we need to get your heart right. You get your heart right, everything else just falls into place because now our heart's in the right place. And Jesus is saying, he's looking at them in the eye and saying, you say all these pretty things to me, you're saying all these great things, but at the end of the day, I know your heart. You're worried about my hands being dirty? I'm worried about your heart being dirty. And so here that you cannot fool God. We've been called to be set apart from God. Set apart from sin. Wake up, Matt. We are called to be set apart, holy, and devoted to God. As Christians, that's who we are. We're called to set the standard of what it is to have an experience with somebody who knows Jesus. And the first place that we have to make sure that it's right is in here before anybody else can experience it. Jesus saw right through their religiosity, and he can see right through ours too. So the question is, have any of us allowed our hearts to be tarnished here this morning? Have we allowed ourselves to try and fool God? Almost. Have we allowed ourselves to fool God or try to fool God or think that we've fooled God or we're doing this but we know it's secretly wrong and we can feel it, we know it, we can feel God's, we can feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We're called to be better than that because God sees through it and he looks it right at your heart. So any justification of a sin is still a sin. You can't fool God. These guys are trying to fool God. Like, hey, we made all these great loopholes. Sorry, dude. I'm not buying that one. He looks at their heart. That's point one. Point two, don't fool yourself. So don't fool God. And number two, don't fool yourself. Let's take a look. Again, he called the crowd and said to them, listen, everyone that understands this, he says, it is not what comes out of a person that defiles them, but what goes into them that defiles them, but what comes out. Like I said earlier, they built walls around the word of God. So in order to like explain this to you, do you ever come across like a situation where like there's police barricades and you can't get close to like wherever it is, whatever situation there that's going on there. And you're like, oh, I just want to like see what's going on. Like, you know you do. Right? You know you go come up on it. You're like, oh my God, what's going on in there? Right? And you get these like barricades. Well, that's what's going on. They build barricades around the word of God so that they couldn't even get close to even breaking the law of God because they didn't want to get near it. And in doing so, they actually distanced themselves from it. Right? So they were concerned about breaking the law and how it, and by the way, like how I said, it led to their captivity years ago. Now, here's the thing. God desires closeness with his people. That's what he desires. God desires a closeness with you. He wants you close. He brought Jesus not to push you away, but to draw you close. That's what this is all about. That's what this is all about. That's what this is all about. Like, Jesus doesn't, God didn't, like, save you to say, you know, you stay there and build a couple barricades and, like, kind of wave at you every now and then. He saved you so you could have intimacy with God, that you could be close to him. Right? And this is what we're called to do. This is how we're called to be. But we use all sorts of excuses to push ourselves away from God, including our hurts, pains, and our sufferings. Right? But God desires something more. Right? We can use all the excuses in the world, like stuff that has happened to me on the outside, all this external stuff, to say, you know what, God, you stay there, and I'm going to stay right here, and this is going to be good. But in the reality, God desires so much more. Don't fool yourself into thinking that God is far from you or 1,000 miles away. That is just not true. Jesus said, if you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. There is one who's closer than a brother. Right? These are beautiful songs. These are beautiful verses that depict the closeness of Jesus. Right? Psalm 34, he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Right? And is close to those who are brokenhearted. That's our Savior. Right? He doesn't want police barriers. He doesn't want pains and hurts to distance ourselves. He wants a renewed relationship. But I think so often as Christians, what we do is that we build up this great persona, right? Everything's great on Instagram and our Facebook. Everything's great in our Bible studies. Well, we're great. We're fine, right? We're good. Right? Everything's great. On the outside, everything's good. Like, we try to fool ourselves. Everything's great. Things are going well. And meanwhile, like, the alarms are going off, right? Like, it looks all great on the inside. On the outside, but on the inside, we're falling apart. Listen, here's the truth. I know some of you have, like, pretty fancy cars, and like, you like to keep them clean, car wash people, right? But if you notice, like, Tab, we never wash our cars. This is the thing we do. We just never wash it. Keeping it real, right? What's on the outside should be able to, like, just, well, the reality is that staying with this car motif, like, it doesn't matter how clean the car is. You leave a dirty diaper in there for a couple of days, guess what? It doesn't matter how clean the outside of the car is. By the way, that's a true story. Like, it happened. It truly happened. Especially in like July. It was awful, okay? It was awful. But listen, the reality is, listen, you've all been there. Like, you ever get into somebody's car and all of a sudden you're like, the first, you get a new, like, the car looks great, you're maybe gonna buy it, you get in it and you're like, ooh, right? Something in it is just heinous and hideous. Guess what? It doesn't matter how good it is on the outside, it is awful. And it's a deal breaker. No Febreze is gonna get that nonsense out, right? It's just not gonna happen. And so all I'm really trying to say is that Jesus wants you to be free, to experience the way he cares and loves about you. And he wants the insight to matter, to be truly at peace. Or, like, listen, if I'm falling apart, like, we're here to pull you back to, like, this is the church. Like, we're called to come alongside and put you back together. But the problem is we put all these great barricades and walls and everything around what God is desiring to do. So stop fooling yourself. God wants the inside to match the outside. So don't fool God. Don't fool yourself. And lastly, don't try to fool others either. Let's take a look. He went on, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within you, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. Whew! Did you leave anything else there, Jesus? All these evils come from inside, right? We love it. Outward appearances. We love a great outward appearance, and we try to fool everybody with it. We look great. Oh my God. I had a front row seat this week to, did you ever see like a person like posing for their Instagram? Did you ever see that? It is the most awkward thing in the world because like you're seeing, typically it's a young lady and she's like doing, it looks so awkward and they're like, hold on. And they're like doing all these great poses for the Insta, right? And you're like, listen, honey, all the poses in the world, no filter is going to change what's truly on the inside, honey, because we can all see what's truly there, right? Like, it's just like, what are you, like, it's just not my thing. Like, I just don't get it. But, like, that's what we do. We try to fool other people, putting our best appearance, putting our best sides, right? Oh, my God. Putting on these ridiculous filters. Like, why do we? Oh, my gosh. Anyway, we keep going. But Jesus said, I could be here all day. But Jesus said, listen, the reality, the thing that I'm worried about, it's what's coming out of you. Not what people see, but what people experience. Right? Look at these things. Murder, greed, adultery, immorality, lewdness, evil, slander, arrogance, folly. All these things that people can, this is what other people experience from us, or how we can hurt other people as a result of who we are. These are the things that truly distance ourselves from God. Right? We hide it. We put on those great experiences, those great outward appearances, and we never tell anybody what's truly going on. And gosh forbid we would actually tell somebody that I'm not as put together as my Facebook looks or the Insta or whatever that is. So, would you, Matthew, would you AV mute that for me real quick? Or Kevin, thank you. So, we get a chance to do something here today. Because maybe today we've come in here and we're trying to fool God. We're trying to fool ourselves. We're trying to fool others. I don't know where that is, but Jesus is pretty clear. I don't care. I don't care what's on the outside. He's looking deep here at the inside.